ESPN's Teron Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week. Time to welcome in our friend Teron Davenport to the program on our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook, TD, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD. TD, good morning. How are you doing?
Hey, good morning. What's going on?
Not a lot, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, TD, we've been kind of kicking this around all week, and I'm interested to hear your answer from the Titans' point of view. If you're the Titans and you're looking at DeAndre Hopkins and what he brought to the table last year, he'll be 32 this time next week. He's got 1 year left on the deal. How much interest would there be if you're Rand Carthon to trying to extend DeAndre Hopkins now, or do you think the Titans would be better off waiting, seeing how this year goes, and then taking the risk that maybe he leaves in free agency after that? How do you view where the Hopkins part of this is in terms of his contract?
Yeah, I think it might be good to wait. You don't have to wait the full year, but maybe wait into the year and then get something done. I don't know what the rush is, right? You know, I don't know that I would be in a rush to go ahead and extend him. Obviously, there's interest in being here. You know, he loves Nashville. He seems to be very excited about Brian Callahan and what the offense is doing. So I think the interest is there, and you just kind of bring that along and see how the results come.
So, did he change his Instagram or not? You know, TD?
I have not kept up with his Instagram. I don't know.
Are you up to date on the Instas of these guys?
I don't recall seeing a bunch of Titan stuff as far as like in his caption or profile explanation or anything like that. I admittedly don't stalk their social media.
That's good.
What I mean? But obviously there isn't a concern or anything like that. He's not unhappy or anything like that. I mean, he posts videos of him working out and, you know, him at mini camp or OTAs rather. Okay, he missed last week. He missed it. So what? I mean, I think sometimes a lot is made about something that really isn't significant at all. And that's what happened recently.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, and of course, this time of year, a lot is made of a lot of things that aren't significant. I mean, you know, it is amazing with the NFL and spring stuff, you know, some of the reactions to things and overreactions to things. But so far from what you've seen out there, TD, what are you seeing, if anything, that is making you, you know, raise your eyebrow a little bit or making you think, okay, that could mean something next season?
Yeah, I think, you know, what I'm seeing is – this defense, you know, I really like, and obviously we haven't even seen Snead out there. We haven't seen Jeffrey Simmons out there, but, you know, I do like what's going on in the secondary. I like the way that the cornerbacks are playing, and I'm not just talking about Chido Bealuze and Roger McCreary. There are other guys who, you know, Caleb Farley, you see these guys right up on the line of scrimmage. There's a big difference. You're not seeing, you know, them line up off the ball and just give the receivers a free release. I like seeing that because that's something that has been an issue, as we all know, over the last few years. So that's something. I'm seeing this offensive line get really well coached. And, man, Daniel Brunskill, Peter Skoronski, J.C. Latham has come in. And you wouldn't think, if you didn't know that he was a rookie, you wouldn't think he was because, I mean, you see him kind of like coaching other guys through the drills. You see him being very vocal and encouraging guys. You know, that's something, wow, it's like, man, he really settled in immediately, and you could tell he's someone that kind of been there and done that. So you have that. I think you look at the running back situation, you know, that's pretty interesting, seeing Tajay Spears and Tony Pollard. But then you look at Calvin Ridley, and, you know, I was talking to him after practice on Wednesday, and I was like, man, I knew you were a good route runner, but I never knew, like, seeing you in person, like, very sudden. Like, I didn't realize how sudden you are with your routes and how smooth and quick in and out the breaks and those types of things. So those are a few things that I've seen.
TD, you brought up Farley. I'm just curious, from your perspective, what have you noticed from him? What have you seen from Caleb Farley in the limited time that they've been on the field?
I mean, listen, I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, you know, everybody should be excited he's going to be a starter or anything like that. I think just seeing him out on the field consistently and able to move. Now, he's, you know, he hasn't made any plays where you're like, oh, wow, this guy. But I think I've just seen him out there and involved, and I think that right there is progress.
So when it comes to the receiving core, TD, like you said, you know, Calvin, obviously, I think he's going to be a big difference maker. Boyd, we know he can play. I mean, that's a heck of a deal for the Titans. There has been a lot of tension around Treylon Burks. I mean, it's almost to me it's crazy how much talk there has been about Treylon Burks, but he is a former first-round pick, and the future, there's still all these questions about him. I'm not going to ask you, what you've seen because, you know, we saw him play great in camp last year and it didn't translate to anything, but do you think that even, like, the system change or having, you know, another really good receiver like Ridley and Boyd here could help him push himself forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think this system would be – helpful to any receiver just because it's different, right? And it's one that you've seen have success in the passing game over the last 5 years or so. And obviously, you know, it's not that tough to do so when you got Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase and Higgins and Boyd, you know, in the mix. But I think it is one that's going to showcase any receiver better. I think when you look at Treylon Burks and just having the guys there in the mix, you look after a lot of plays. I mean, Tyler Boyd is telling him different things. You know, I was watching him on Wednesday during one of the install periods, and Boyd is telling him, hey, you know, this is how you settle into a window and you know, just different things like that. So that's going to help him. And then the competition, you know, Treylon, I asked him about that. You know, he said it definitely amps him up, right? And that's something. And then also you look at just the way things are going to work. When they go against other teams and he's in the game, with those other guys on the field, he's not going to draw the top defender, right? So the quality or the level of defender that he's going against is going down slightly. So that should help him as well. I think he just has to stay healthy. That's the main thing. He has to stay healthy.
So, TD, Arden Key the other day was talking about Denard Wilson and the defensive staff and the corrections that they make on the field. And Kuharski followed up with a question of, you know, last year, I mean, did you guys move on maybe without making some corrections was essentially what Kuharski was getting at, and in a way that only Arden Key can. Hell yeah, he sure did sometimes. What did you make of Arden Key's answer that obviously made its rounds on Titans Twitter the other day?
You know, that was pretty telling, and it was something where you see that and you say, okay, I could understand now why some of the same mistakes kept happening over and over and over again, right? How many times did you see a miscommunication in the secondary, right? So now you can kind of understand that, and I think it's surprising because I would have taken Mike Vrabel for someone that would, you know, definitely – make sure that those types of things were buttoned up. So I was really surprised by that.
Yeah, I mean, it's still hard for me to all of a sudden think like Vrabel and Shane Bowen are just terrible coaches, but you know,
right?
But I know how that goes. The last coach, the last GM, you know, everything's on them, and you know, the new era is very exciting and all that. But by the way, apparently, toxic positivity is an issue with the Titans. I don't know if you knew that, TD, if you got into that with Jared, but toxic positivity, too much positivity. Are you sensing too much positivity around the Titans?
Toxic positivity. Well, I'll give you another phrase, a saying to kind of counter that. Arrogant ignorance. I think it's getting to a point where I don't know. Listen, I'll just leave it alone.
That's a good term, though.
Positivity is. I don't know what is wrong with feeling good about what you're doing. No comment.
Arrogant ignorance.
I like
that's
it.
I mean, I'm stealing that.
That's good stuff. TD, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Hope you have a great weekend. And tell us about our friends at ESPN Bet Sportsbook.
Oh, yeah, you already know, man. ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the huge sports moments this spring and now this summer. It's the exclusive sports book of ESPN, and it has it all, including offers and promotions from Scott Van Pelt and Stephen A. Smith. From the playoff intensity to getting on the links and out on the ballpark, there's no better time to be a sports fan than right now. You know, as a new user, you get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. So download ESPN Bet today. What a play. You must be 21 or older and in Tennessee. For problem gambling support, call or text the TN Red Line at 800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. See that for details.
We'll react to what TD had to say. Take your thoughts on the Titans on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road. 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. I got some tickets to give away to see Hootie and the Blowfish at Bridgestone Arena on July 27th. Be caller 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Hootie and the Blowfish at Bridgestone Arena coming up on July the 27th. Thanks to TD for being with us in the last segment. We're taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. The Hopkins part of this is interesting. Now, the most fascinating part about all this is, like, we've not heard one word from DeAndre Hopkins about a contract or being unhappy or anything of the sort. We've been scoping an Instagram account that may or may not have been scrubbed, and yesterday he put a Titans photo up on his Instagram account. That's the extent of what has happened in the DeAndre Hopkins discussion. So I don't even know if Hopkins is worried about the contract. I don't know that the Titans have any conversation with him whatsoever about a new contract, and yet we've talked about DeAndre Hopkins and his contract this week. I do think it's, like, worth discussing and it's worth considering if you're the Titans in terms of what exactly do you do there. And, you know, TD's answer, I hear it. I do wonder, though, like, anytime you get into the season and then you start worried about a contract after that, like, some people, once they get into a season, they just play it out, and then they go to free agency after that. Some people are open to having contract negotiations in the middle of the season. It just kind of depends on the person at that point.
Like, yeah, I guess it depends on – I mean, this is where communication is so key, right? If there actually was something done that was intended to express discontent, if he actually is not happy that he's going into this year after he overperformed his contract last year,
which I think we would all agree with.
Yeah. Then if I'm the GM, then I have to think about, okay, does it make sense to, you know, nip this in the bud
with a D
and take care of it, you know, because, and you know, yeah, I think sometimes. Yeah, you could wait. I guess it's like, but what do you? I mean, are you waiting to see? You know what he was as a player. You know what you expect him to be as a player this year. Are you waiting to just see if he just stays healthy or just,
I guess,
playing well for a few? I mean, I think, like, it's a gamble either way of, like, 2025. What's he going to be?
Yeah,
and is it worth paying him high teens for 2025? And it is a gamble. I would do it because I think last year showed that there's still quite a bit of tread on the tires. And again, it's just a matter of, I mean, if there's nothing to this, then yeah, go. I mean, hey, if everybody's all fine and hunky-dory and he's just going to play on this year, then okay. I mean, just do it. But remember, too, if he does have a great year, one, you know, there's a, then you might want him in 25, right?
For sure.
I mean, it, regardless of whether he wants the extension now or not, you take care of it now, and then you have him locked up. I mean, so I think communication on that is important, what he actually thinks. And then even if he's not discontented, I would think about it if I believe that he's going to be a player worthy of making $17, $18 million in 2025.
Well, and also, is there the chance if you're him – where you look at it and say, you know, no, I'll just play this year on this deal, and then I'll get a new deal next year. I mean, the thing about it is he's going to be 32, so what does that look like? What's your deal going to look like when you're 32? And we talked about the wide receiver market all day. He's not going to be in the $30 million discussion. He may not be in the $20 million discussion. I don't know. But at 32 years old, if he has a really good year this year, could that lead to a bigger payday for him in free agency next season? Could that be his approach of, yeah, I'll figure that out next year after I have a really good year here with Will Levis? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't so communication, you know, figure it out, and I guess we'll never never know the answer. Like, until we ask him next week, right? Did you do anything on your social media? Like, did you,
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to ask that question, but I hope somebody
does. Hope you do. Yeah. And I hope he answers you in German. Those are the two things I hope happen.
Again, nine.
Nine.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing TD said, I was a little surprised. You know, now Coach Zach is jumping on this. Is the
Well.
Yeah. Well. I disagree. Like, I can't make too much of the Arden Key quote. I just can't. I'm sorry.
There are people making a big deal about that on the text line all show long. They're crapping on Vrabel.
Yeah. So Zach says, it's not overreacting. You're actually the one acting like Stilly by taking it as us saying they sucked at coaching. I'm taking it as it does explain why certain mistakes kept showing up routinely. But again, Zach, it's one guy, and Arden Key is – I mean, I love talking to Arden Key, but, you know, he kind of shoots from the hip a little bit. And if there was more pressing on that, I don't know. It might have gotten a
little
bit
different. Get him back up to the podium, too.
Well, I guess. Well, other people. I mean, hey, I guess if we want to – relitigate coaching last year, you know, the whole it does explain why certain mistakes kept showing up. Again, one quote says, and now you're convinced they did not address mistakes as a defensive coaching staff previously. I mean, doesn't that seem
He said he moved on. Hell yeah, moved on, man. didn't say a word about it. We just kept going.
Look, I mean, I think it.
Vrabel's trying to get out of there by lunchtime. Right, that's what we figured out.
Yeah. I mean, so let's, I mean, come on. Let's talk this through logically, Zach, and people who think this is some declaration that, you know.
I got a tea time at 1:30 at Troubadour. Let's wrap this up.
Stilly and I are going to go walk the course. You know, I think the point that he was making was how meticulous Denard Wilson is, right? So do I believe that? I mean, he brought it up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think there's something to – would it be fair to think maybe he's more meticulous, more of a perfectionist than like Shane Bowen was last season with them? Okay, I can buy that. Do I buy that they just absolutely ignored every single mistake? And I know – you're right. Is that going too far? They sucked at coaching. No, but like, I think last year the mistakes they made over and over in some cases were because they didn't have good players out there. Is that possible? Is it possible they were deficient at various positions and lost a lot and couldn't cover, couldn't rush, couldn't do this or that? Or is it that they made mistakes that the coaches just completely ignored over and over again? Let's talk through this logically.
Shane Bowen looking at the iPad on the side. Guys, I can't tell what went wrong here. I don't know. Just keep doing it. It'll be fine.
Hey, hey, Vrabes. Aziz keeps making the same mistakes. I just don't want to say anything to him, though. Yeah. I just can't. I can't say anything. I just can't do it.
Got a texter that says, it certainly explains why our franchise punter was nearly crippled. That did look like some similar mistakes when Stonehouse got absolutely obliterated in that game.
Let's not even get into Ackerman here. But I mean,
I can't for the life of me figure out how they're rushing our punts. How do we fix it? What do we do?
Like, if you want to, like, if
Stonehouse
you want
to, is in the ambulance. What do we do?
Like, if you want to get into,
Craig, need to see you in my office today.
Stilly
was right. You're out.
Yeah. Fine. Yeah. Yeah. I resisted listening to Stilly, but it's time to start listening to Stilly. You know, for many years, I watched, and like TD, for example, went like during the season, goes to practice for every, and I don't, but it's like camp in particular. Watched a whole bunch of practices with Mike Vrabel and Shane Bowen, and I saw a whole bunch of, wow. Muted myself.
In the middle of speaking.
I saw a whole bunch of mistakes that they then addressed at times with very colorful, very loud language. Not just Vrabel, Bowen too. Bowen is a yeller. Okay?
Underrated.
Bowen's a yeller. So I just this is not it. And I don't really want to get into like asking other guys. So really, like, did they? But it becomes this discussion point, and people run with it. And, Zach, I just don't expect you to run with it like this.
Arden Key said it. Yeah, man. Yeah. We moved on from a lot of stuff. We didn't fix a thing.
Yeah, so Zach is just going nuts on the Texans. So every coach approaches to fix mistakes with the same level of meticulousness. No, that's what I just said. I think the point is he's saying like there's maybe he sees more meticulousness with Denard Wilson, which is fine. We always compare the last coach to the new coach, and the last coach was always – the new coach is always better, okay? New GM's always better. New everything's always better. New quarterback's always better, whatever it is, okay? Fine. That's fair. This I mean, Zach's like, it's the same mistakes every year, though. Okay.
I can't wait until like right. Arden Key.
So Shane Bowen, these same mistakes that Zach sees on film every year, these same mistakes that you see. I mean, if you want to list some, list some. So you think that Shane Bowen saw them and is like, just ah! – Hands over my ears. See no evil, hear no evil. I mean,
right.
I don't know why I'm losing my mind on this today.
I can't wait until Arden Key jumps off sides like twice on the same drive. It's like, where is Denard Wilson? Why is he not correcting Arden Key staying on side out there?
I'll tell you what. I mean, I feel like we may be looking at the 85 Bears. The 24 Titans, 85 Bears.
A lot of positivity around here.
There it is. Arrogant ignorance.
We need some more of the we need the NFL media at large to come back in here with more 2-15 Titans predictions, just to let the air out a little bit.
But we got you got Charles and like Albert Breer now are starting to
starting to
believe in him. JD says Jared is powered by AI. Arrogant ignorance. Jared powered by AI. We will use AI responsibly, we promise you.
We do.
We will use Jared's arrogant ignorance responsibly.
Your boy Trey from Antioch says, Vrabel didn't fire Aukerman and Downing soon enough, so it makes sense that they didn't go back and correct things because himself and some of his staff was incompetent. That's from Trey from Antioch.
You going to bring Trey back into this?
I just did.
Okay. Trey just listed all these back. He listed Trevor Siemian, P.J. Walker, Blaine Gabbert, A.J. McCarron, Brian Hoyer, Kellen Mond, Ben DiNucci, as back quarterbacks who don't have backup jobs, along with Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
So because Tannehill also doesn't have a job, he's now equating him with those guys.
He's Ben
Trey. Timeout. You got timeout, Trey.
He's Ben DiNucci.
Same thing.
Ryan Tannehill, Ben DiNucci.
Same thing. They don't have jobs. It must be the same thing. I'm sure they all are fielding the same offers or non-offers. It's exactly the same. Sesame Street. Which one of these kids is doing his own thing? Let's play that song.
Long fuse on full display today.
Very long fuse.
Coming up next, it's time for weekend winners. Lots of interesting games coming up this weekend. Conference finals in the NHL, man. I got to tell you, I'm excited. We'll get into that and a whole lot more. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
It's time to pick some winners. We hope. Robbie and Rex Road have weekend winners for you. Now on ESPN. 102.5, the game and the Game Nashville app.
Weekend winners on Robbie and Rex Road. Lots to get into this weekend. A quick standings update in the competition. Joe Rex Road, the player of the week last week, 4-2 with his lock.
Thank you.
I had a bad week. Went 2-4 with my lock. Got both hockey games right and then missed on everything else. Keys are struggling. He went 1-5. He did get his lock, which is only the fourth time in the competition he's got it, which brings the overall standings. I remain in first, 49-35 overall, 11-3 on my locks, 60 points. Joe Rexrode, 48-36 overall, 9-5 on your locks, 57 points, so just 3 points back.
Okay.
Nick Kieser, 44-40, 4-10 on his locks, 48 points. He's 12 back of me, 9 back of you. He's in some serious trouble in this competition.
So basically,
which I believe goes through the NBA and Stanley Cup Final.
Do we stop it then? We don't even keep it going through the College World Series.
Unless
right?
You want me to go into some Australian rules football picks, which I can do.
Which you have done in the past.
I've done
I don't
past.
Remember. We haven't gone through the College World Series?
We have not, but we can.
Okay.
If you want to extend
fine.
The competition?
No, we can we'll go through the finals. So basically, it comes down to Nick is buying more hot honey pizza.
Good man.
Hot honey and pepperoni pizza. It's just a matter of.
It's going to take a dramatic turnaround.
Am I getting it free again?
Yeah.
Or are you getting it free this time?
Yeah, it's going to be a dramatic. It's going to take a dramatic turnaround. Maybe David James today picking in cases in Keezer's place. Who there's no pressure on because he cannot possibly do worse. Hey. David James maybe can turn some things around.
We're going to try. We're going to try my hardest.
All I got to do is go 6-0.
All right, so regional play beginning today for both Tennessee and Vanderbilt. We're going to, instead of trying to get through every possible scenario here, we're going to make it pretty simple. Are you taking Tennessee? Or are you taking the field in the regional? Let's start on that front. I'll go Tennessee. It's close to my lock, but I'm not going to make it my lock. I'll go Tennessee in their regional in Knoxville. Joe Rexro, Tennessee or the field in the Knoxville regional?
It is my lock.
There you go.
Feeling good.
Feeling good about it.
Feeling good in the neighborhood, as they like to say. Southern Miss, enjoy some Applebee's.
David James, noted Vols hater. Tennessee or the field?
Big time Vols hater, but not this week. Go the baseballs.
All right, so everybody going to Tennessee sweep in the regional there. All right, this one's a little bit more interesting. Vanderbilt or the field in the regional? Joe Rexroad, you're up first.
Well, I said earlier, I'm going to stick with what I said. I'm going to go Vanderbilt. I think Bryce Cunningham, I expect him to be on the mound today. 11 a.m., by the way, ESPN2.
Mm.
And I think with their other guys that they've got on the mound, I love how J.D. Thompson's pitching lately. I think Vanderbilt's going to get out of there.
Vanderbilt, Homer, Joe Rexroad. Tennessee, Homer, Joe Rexroad. Going with Vanderbilt and Tennessee to get out of this weekend.
Yep.
David James, Vanderbilt with the field in the regional.
Well, you know, Clemson did say that they were blue blood. Their head coach actually did say that. But I'm going to go with the actual blue blood, Vandy.
Okay. So both of you going with Vanderbilt. Give me the field. Make it my lock. I'm locking down on the field.
Ooh.
Specifically, ooh. Clemson's going to win. Going Clemson.
This feels like, you know, you don't too often get into the whole Vandy-Tennessee thing. Like, you're a level-headed fan. You don't really like have a lot of Vandy hate. But no. I feel like there's a little bit of Vols.
Yeah.
Have some, Vandy.
If there is, like, one Vanderbilt team that I actually like seeing do well, I mean, I don't mind seeing any of them do well, but, like, I love Tim Corbin. Love Vanderbilt baseball. So, no hatred here.
You just think they suck. All
right. They're just not going to win.
I just think Clemson's going to win. Just think Clemson's going to win. That's what I'm throwing out there.
Okay. Not the craziest pick, but as a lock.
I think the number one seed is going to win the regional.
Yeah, I think as a lock, that's interesting.
Okay, right. Just throwing it out there.
I like it.
The Edmonton Oilers and the Dallas Stars in Game 5 tonight. That series is tied at 2-2. A big injury question for the Stars. Chris Tanev is hurt. He was spotted, I think, walking through the airport yesterday in a walking boot. So we'll see what exactly that's going to mean. I mean, I would doubt if he's in a walking boot he's going to play. But I've seen some hockey players play some pretty crazy stuff. So we'll see what happens on that front. Who we got in this one? David James, you're up first. Oilers and Stars in Game 5 in Dallas.
You know what? I'm gonna take a shocker, and I'm going to pick the Oilers. Connor McDavid, pretty darn good from what I've heard.
He is pretty good. I'm going to go to the home team. I will go with Dallas to take a 3-2 series lead. Joe Rexroad, Edmonton and Dallas coming up in Game 5.
Like I said, Edmonton last game showed me something. They've got some grit to them that maybe they haven't had in the past. Matthias Ekholm is one of those guys who's also scoring some goals here and there.
Well,
yeah, 4 goals in the postseason.
I believe so. Yeah,
but I got to go with the home team. I got to go with Dallas to go up 3-2, and I do think that this series is destined for 7.
Okay, how about Panthers and Rangers in Game 6, Florida? With the win on the road last night to take a 3-2 series lead, they've got the opportunity to close it out at home in Game 6. I'm going Rangers. I think the Rangers win in Game 6, and they force a Game 7 back at Madison Square Garden, which will be awesome. It's been a great series to this point, but I'll go Rangers to win Game 6. Joe Rexroad, Panthers, Rangers coming up in Game 6.
See, now we're getting into the point where do I need to make some picks that are different from you so that I have a chance to catch you? Because
we still got a few more weeks.
Yeah, all right. Well, I believe Rangers too. I mean, I think Florida's better. And last night, huge win in the Garden. They were very sad in the Garden.
They were.
And my Rangers fans here, I feel for you. But I do think the Rangers are going to push this to 7.
David James, the Rangers and the Panthers coming up in Game 6.
I just really want to be different. I'm going to pick the Panthers.
I want the Panthers to close out the series in Game 6.
Nick's got to make up some ground.
Somehow. There's nothing I could do. Nick's just left me out.
Also, picking the Florida Panthers to win a closeout game at home is not a bad pick.
Yeah, sure,
it's pretty good.
Exactly.
So, we'll see.
So in both hockey games, he's different from you and I.
That's true.
There you go.
All right, the NBA Finals are set. The Mavericks and the Celtics. By the time we do this competition next week, Game 1 will have been played. So we'll go Game 1 between the Mavs and the Celtics. Right now, the Celtics are favored by 6 in that game. Joe Rex wrote, Celtics favored by 6 in game 1 of the NBA Finals. Who you got?
Okay, so it will be in Boston.
That is correct.
Game 1's in Boston. You know what? Give me the math. First of all, very disappointed in Minnesota last night. What an awful performance. And I know Dallas went nuts. Lucas was hitting shots right away. But, man, did they act like a young team that's not ready for prime time. Anyway, also, the Mavs, my goodness. So much better than I ever could have imagined with Kyrie and Luka together. I like them with this long layoff for the Celtics. I like the Mavs. I like, you know, Michael Finley took the beer out of Luka's hands in the locker room last night.
Hydrate yourself.
Luka's like, where's my beer? I think more of a layoff for the Celtics. I like the Mavs to win outright.
David Janes, Mavs and Celtics in game 1, Boston favored by 6.
Judging by every game 1 I've seen the Celtics play, they've won, so I'm going to go with the Celtics.
I'm going with the Celtics big. I think the Celtics win by double digits at home in game 1. I think they're better. Luka and Kyrie specifically, very, very good. I think they're going to have their work cut out for them in this series. But I'll go Celtics big in game 1, so I'll go minus the 6. We have one individual pick apiece in the competition today. David Janes, you're up. Your individual selection.
Well, this pick comes from the great Nick Frazier here.
Oh, what?
He's here right now.
Uh-oh, is it some rugby?
No. It's soccer.
Okay.
It's soccer.
Okay.
It's Real Madrid's going to win the Champions League, and that is my lock.
Yeah! There we go.
Real Madrid winning the Champions League. Locking down on it.
When is that?
Do you have any thoughts on
when
F1?
Does that
I have no idea. What time? Tomorrow. It's tomorrow.
Okay.
There you go.
I love
we'll find out tomorrow.
I love it.
Any thoughts on F1? Any thoughts on Ferrari while we're waiting?
I don't know. That could be yours.
Well, maybe so. We'll
Ferrari, a fast car.
Thank you.
Apparently
Joe Rexroad.
Joker.
Your first and only individual selection.
You know, if we went all through the summer, I would just like do a week's worth of picking against the crappy White Sox. It's probably the biggest source of joy in sports for me right now is that the White Sox are just total trash. 15-42, baby.
It's hard to do.
5-21 away from home. And so give me the White Sox.
Give
me the Brewers -1.5 against the White Sox.
Brewers -1.5 against the Chicago White Sox.
Sorry, Ryan from Chicago.
I'm jumping ahead to game 6 between the Stars and the Oilers. We know that there will be a game 6. The series is tied at 2, so we know there will be a game 6. I'm going Stars. So I've got the Stars winning tonight, and I got the Stars closing it out in game 6. So they will win the next 2, according to me.
What a McHater.
That'll be interesting.
Good one.
In my heart, I'm really pulling for 7 games in both series. It'd be awesome.
Big time.
And I think there's a decent chance we're going to get it, but I'm pulling for it. Game 7 in both series.
Yeah. Now I'm pulling for it, and now you having the Stars as a pick really is that could be free hot honey for me.
Am I going to draw the ire of Vanderbilt Twitter for picking the field to win the regional? Specifically Clemson. I don't think who's the 4th team in the regional? I've already forgotten. I know Coastal Carolina. Is it High Point?
Hold on. Oh my gosh,
I think it's High Point.
Oh my gosh, I have to take a picture of this and zoom it up. I have to take a picture of this and zoom it. It's High Point, you're right.
High Point.
Nice job.
I don't think High Point's going to win.
But
that's my breaking take today.
But if they do, you win.
I still win. Shout out to High Point. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Your final thoughts on the Titans, Vanderbilt, and Tennessee playing later today. You can take it any way you want to take it. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on the Memphis Redbirds on the road. Pregame at 6:50, first pitch at 7:05. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds Baseball presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Also, make sure you tune in to 94.9 The Fan this Sunday for coverage of the Illinois Enjoy 300. Coverage beginning at 1:30, the race starting at 2:30. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Your battle with Trey from Antioch has been a show-long thing at this point.
Well, and I can't think of too many that were showing. I mean, even Zach has finally, you know, conceded that he was wrong and I was right. Thank you, Zach. Trey still thinks that, like, because Ryan Tannehill isn't on a roster, he has not had any offers to be a backup quarterback in the NFL. Yeah. It is one of the dumbest takes we've heard on this show, and it's a whole show.
It has been.
Please,
darn near 3 hours.
Use your
part of it.
Noggin, please.
Keep going. Floor's yours.
I mean, he listed out all these other guys who don't have jobs. Yeah, because they're like guys who are not close to starter quality, never have been. Go read off all the guys who are.
How do you know whether or not Ben DiNucci has been close to being a starting quarterback in the league?
You don't know any of that.
That's fair. You're right. I'm speculating.
Italian.
Wild speculation. Yeah. A whole show of this. And
Blaine Gabbert's been a starter.
Yes, Blaine Gabbert has.
Trevor Siemian's been a starter. Former Titan.
Yes. So let's compare those guys and where they are in their careers.
Kellen Mond.
To.
He started for Texas A&M.
There you go. The guy who's going to take Kirk Cousins' job. Ryan Tannehill could have a job right now if he wanted to have a job. I promise you. He could have a job with 10, 12 teams, 14 teams. I don't know. If he just wanted to go, it's my backup quarterback phase of my career. The guy who's made the 12th most amount of money in NFL history.
That's a
wild
stat.
Who's made just shy of $200 million. Who has taken a team to the AFC Championship game, who's had several 4,000-yard seasons, who had the best stats of the NFL in 2019, had an offense that scored 31 points a game in 2020, all that stuff. Yeah, I know he's older. He's not that guy anymore. He's not these guys. He could easily be a backup quarterback. Why am I yelling about this still?
I think you like Ryan Tannehill more than Brady.
I mean, I'm sitting here arguing why he could be a QB2. I mean... This is...
Let the record show.
God.
When the Titans picked Tannehill over Brady, which is because we know that's the way it went down. They picked Tannehill over Brady.
Exactly.
I said they should get Brady. Just saying.
You did.
He went Tannehill. Rex Roy went Tannehill. Just throwing it out there.
Shame.
I know.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Do you expect any drama whatsoever in the Tennessee Regional in terms of will they struggle? Will this be just straight on through to the Supers? Everybody's going to pick Tennessee to win the regional. It'll be, and it's already has been, I think, a little back and forth on the Vanderbilt front. Do you expect any drama whatsoever from the Vols?
I wouldn't be surprised if there's some drama, if it's not just completely smooth. You know, you were talking about the park earlier, and obviously they love it, and they send baseballs out of that thing all the time. It is a little bit like if you're a pitching team that's in a spacious ballpark, I feel like, you know, that might be a little bit more advantage, if that makes sense. I mean, some of these teams can run into some, you know, some easy home runs. And again, they have one true weekend starter on their staff, and they have a lot of good arms that they put together and cobble together an overall excellent pitching performance, but yeah, I could see a little drama. And that, I think that place, I mean, think about the first year that Vitello took them to the College World Series, and they had this breakout season, and right away in the first game, you know, it takes a ridiculous grand slam in the bottom of the ninth to, and who knows where it goes from there. So, yeah, I could see a little drama. I mean, I'm rooting for as much drama as possible.
Now that you've been able to find the bracket, you have talked me into let's hope against all hope that there's a Tennessee and Vanderbilt College World Series final. Someday I feel like we're going to get it, but let's hope it's now. Let's get greedy. Let's hope it's this year. Tennessee-Vanderbilt. I mean, that'd be a heck of a run for Vanderbilt.
Well, that'd be an all-time run for Vanderbilt for sure. Tennessee is a favorite. Are they the favorite, by the way? Do you know the betting odds? Remember 2 years ago, like the whole question we had was, you know, Vols or the field?
Right.
And I think I was like, Vols. I mean, it was like, they're just too good to lose. They had everything. They had the starters, the bullpen, the lineup. They had everything. I don't think that they're necessarily the betting favorite. It might be Texas A&M, but I could be wrong on that too.
I'll try to find it.
But regardless, you know, they are a team that I do expect to be in Omaha. And like last year, you know, they ran to Paul Skeens, and it's just tough. I think this year, you know, there aren't the dominant pitchers with some of these top teams that there have been in other years. And I think that bodes well for them. Vanderbilt getting there, I mean, that'd be an all-time run, you know, because this is not, obviously not one of Tim Corbin's best teams.
It's a really good time of year to combine a couple of takes here. Really good time to be the Minnesota Vikings. Number one, they got Sam Darnold tossing the thing around right now in OTAs, which if you listen to Stilly, Darnold, very talented.
He's
better
huge
than Tua.
Darnold, way better than Tua.
Big. But also, the Minnesota Vikings are the opponent that Shane Bowen's New York Giants will be facing in week one. And as we found out this week from Arden Key, no adjusting, no coaching going on whatsoever from Shane Bowen. Good time to be the Minnesota Vikings and to be able to see that in week one.
My gosh, Darnold's going to have a freaking field day out there.
Like Jalen Hyatt is going to torch somebody in Giants training camp. It's like, well, I'd like to fix it, but we can't stop anybody from running a vertical. So
shout out
Justin Jefferson, my God, you're going to put up some numbers that first game.
Shout out to Trevor, who is like in the film, Shane Bowen's like mistake. Fast forward real
just
quick.
Just quickly. That's nothing to see here.
No, that's fine. We don't need to watch that play again. We're good.
How weird was it to see Vrabel out on the field yesterday coaching with the Browns in the Cleveland Browns little outfit get up that he was wearing? Running around, mashing into people.
You know what? You know, the thing is, I promise you that's like Vrabel's dream job. And Vrabel grew up near there, was a huge Browns fan. He's talked about the heartbreak of the drive. What's that? Or Ohio State, but
and that's still happening one day?
Well, there's the athletic jinx for Mike Vrabel. His career went to the total crap.
Totally his record since you wrote that. Could Mike Vrabel be the next Ohio State coach piece?
Is bad. He's one of the best coaches at any level of football. Take it from me. Total crapper. Circle the drain. But seriously, Vrabel, Ohio State and the Browns, one of those jobs then would be his dream job, right? Yeah.
Oh, man.
Watch out, Kevin Stefanski.
Right. So they lost seven in a row. It was seven, right? They were 7-3. Lost seven in a row that season. And then they went 6-11 last year. So you're talking 18 games.
6-18.
6-18. Since you wrote the, hey, watch out.
A nice 6-18 run. Meanwhile, Ohio State continues to employ Ryan Day. But, hey, you know, whatever floats your boat.
Hey, this is their year. I think they're going to be preseason number two. I feel pretty confident when the college football preseason rankings come out, Georgia will be one, Ohio State will be two. Okay. And then you just kind of figure it out from there.
What's Tennessee going to be?
My guess is 15. 15, 14, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yep. Right on the cusp of what the new number that matters.
Yeah, right on the cusp. I'll tell you this, too. I think most people have looked at Tennessee's non-conference schedule and said, yeah, okay, NC State game could be fun. Like, NC State, they're going to be right there. They'll be
not bad.
16, 17, somewhere in that neighborhood, too. Big game in Charlotte early in the season for the Vols.
Underrated big game. And that's like it's almost like a playoff elimination game from the start.
It really is.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, maybe not for NC State because they play in the freaking ACC. But for the Vols, yes.
Need to win that one. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. Enjoy the live sports. We'll be back on Monday to break it all down. Jason Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.